1, 2, 3.
Sin Sports Sunday. Every Sunday. The NJDiet.com studios. 77 WABC New York. Cumulus Station. This is Sin Sports Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda. Sid Rosenberg. The stories. The stats. The edge.
Mahomes. He's going to try to get there on his own. And he does so with ease. Showtime.
The moments.
Brady now over 300 yards for the game, 83rd time in his career. Looking for all of it. Unloads to the end zone. Caught by Gordon. Touchdown, Patriots.
Every Sunday.
Here they are, second and four. Ben dancing, waiting, throwing, and the catch is made. Touchdown.
This is Sin Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
Hot snap sets up second and 12.
Bortles has a man. It's Dante Moncrief. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
And coming to you live this morning, everybody, from beautiful Bell Boulevard in Bayside, Queens, from Bourbon Street. It is a Sid Sports Sunday for week number 6 of the National Football League. What a gorgeous place. I've got my guy Brian Melman, B-Mel, to my right. Nice crowd out here today getting ready for a big Sunday at football. We're on the roof this morning. A little nippy out here. This is exactly what you want this time of year. This is NFL weather, right? I know a bunch of folks on the way to New Jersey today for the Jets taking on the Indianapolis Colts. And this is the first real Sunday where it feels like NFL. I know when I walked out this morning and it was dark out and there was about 45 degrees, it felt like a football Sunday. I think last Sunday was about 80 degrees. I think 3 days ago was about 80 degrees. And now folks are sitting out here today with their jackets on and sweatshirts on and getting ready for a big NFL Sunday here on Bell Boulevard in Bayside. And what a gorgeous setup here today. Breakfast. They're going to serve some breakfast here, some mimosas, some Bloody Marys. Do want to thank a bunch of people for making this happen today, starting with, of course, Leslie Slender. Terrific job getting this going out here today. Thank you, Leslie, in her giant football jersey. Phil Amato, great job by Phil. And all the owners are here as well, Mark, Steve, and Peter, for this beautiful, beautiful place. Outdoors, by the way, with about, got to be about 10 flat-screen TVs. So between the NFL Network and ESPN, we got plenty of football now about 5 hours away from kickoff around the country. There are 9 1 o'clock games this afternoon, 3 games coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. And then, of course, the nightcap tonight may be the best game of the day, and that features the undefeated 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs up in New England taking on the 3-2 Tom Brady-led New England Patriots. So we'll get to the football in just a couple of moments here. Let's start with baseball, though. We're getting very close to the World Series, and last night we had 2 games yesterday. The Dodgers get a big home run in the 8th inning, even up their series with Milwaukee at 1 game apiece. Justin Turner with the big shot. Gunsy, let's hear some of that.
2-0. High drive into left, back at the wall. The Dodgers are on top. Justin Turner, after a frustrating night last night, goes deep to give LA a 4-3 lead.
Opening 6-5 loss in game one, but again, comes back with a monster home run yesterday, and in fact, the Dodgers go on to win the game 4-3. That series is now tied 1 game apiece, shifts to Los Angeles, game 3 coming up from L.A. tomorrow night. American League got going last night in Boston. Red Sox fresh off the win over the Yankees. Bunch of Yankee fans, I'd imagine, out here today. Well, Red Sox have moved on. They're taking on the team that won the World Series last year. That's the Houston Astros, and the Astros got a big home run in the 8th inning as well to get a road win in Boston. Gunsy?
For Workman. Now Reddick sends one deep into right center field. That is way back. Jackie Bradley Jr. can only watch. It's a home run. Josh Reddick with a bolt of lightning on this cold night. And it's 4-2 Houston.
There you have it. The Astros go on to beat the Red Sox by a final score of 4-2. Game 2 from Fenway Park in Boston later on tonight, a 7 p.m. start. It'll be David Price, who, by the way, is 0-10 in his postseason career, on the mound for the Red Sox. Gerrit Cole will make the start for the Astros. A lot of crazy college football yesterday. We'll talk to Joe Lisi about that coming up later on this hour. But again, it is an NFL Week 6. Giants, of course, started Week 6 with another stinker. Look at all these Giant fans out here today. Leslie wearing Giants, Lynn wearing Giants, this lovely lady in her Eli Manning jersey, and we suck. We absolutely suck. I have 10 Giant jerseys. I was going to wear one today, but I'm like, I can't even do it. I can't even do it. We're going to talk about what's wrong with the Giants. We've got Rob Parker coming on from Fox Sports, and I'll talk about it as well. I'm going to take a full segment today, which I usually don't do on this show, and just rail on the Giants. Everybody's got their theory why the Giants are 1-5. Is it the head coach, Pat Shurmur? Is it the offensive line? Is it Eli Manning? Yes. Is it a bad roster? We're going to talk about that later on today with Rob Parker and Gary Myers, who for 39 years wrote for the New York Daily News and does shows now with WFAN. He's stopping by today, and we're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Got a brand new book out, The History of the Dallas Cowboys, all the way back to the Dandy Don Meredith days and Roger Staubach and Danny White. Right up until today, we'll talk Dallas Cowboy football with Gary Myers. We do have six stringers, though, today. Some of the biggest games around the National Football League. We like to call this Around the League. Brucey, take it away. Around the League, brought to you by my dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Of course, Peerless builds America's best boilers. I think Pete on his way to New Jersey today for the Jets and the Colts. Six big games there. Let's start there. In New Jersey, about 5 hours from now, the Jets, fresh off a big win over the Broncos last week, look to even up their record on the season at 3-3, taking out a Colt team with Andrew Luck that has started the season just 1-4. Right now, the Jets are a 2.5-point favorite at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Peter Schwartz does a great job for WFAN and CBS, and he's live at MetLife with the latest on the Jets and the Colts. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Sid. A huge game for the Jets at MetLife against the Colts today. The Jets putting the brakes on their three-game losing streak with that win over the Broncos last week. This is the second of three straight home games for the Jets, a real big opportunity to get their season turned back in the right direction after they faltered following that season-opening win in Detroit. Now, the Jets have a game-time decision. Isaiah Crowell, the running back, has a sore ankle. He got better as the week went along, and it is expected that he will play. The Jets will not have Trumaine Johnson today. The cornerback is out, as is Buster Screen. For the Colts, they rank 29th in rushing, so the Jets' objective today, get out to that quick lead. And Andrew Luck, over the last couple of games, has attempted 121 passes, Sid. That's the most in NFL history over a five-day span and second most over two games. And Andrew Luck will not have his two big targets. T.Y. Hilton is out with hamstring and chest injuries, and tight end Jack Doyle is out with a hip injury. So the Jets with a golden opportunity this afternoon to get back to 500. Jets and Colts coming up at 1 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Peter Schwartz. Now back to Sid in the studio.
You know, Peter, there is one statistic worth mentioning. A bad Colt football team, they've won just once. And as you said, they're missing a bunch of their weapons. But did you know that the Colts actually lead the National Football League in third down conversion? So it will be important, Pete, for the Jets to get off the field on third down today.
And the Jets are going to have a problem with that without Trumaine Johnson's screen on that defense. They're going to have to get a pass rush today, Sid. With a banged-up secondary, a pass rush for the Jets today is vital.
All right, Peter, thank you. Once again, it's the 1-4 Jets. I should say the 2-3 Jets hosting the 1-4 Colts. Jets right now a 2.5-point favorite. Kickoff at MetLife in New Jersey coming up at 1 p.m. It's the biggest game of the day, and it's late tonight, 8:20 p.m. Eastern time from Foxborough Stadium, where Tom Brady and the 3-2 Patriots, now on fire. They've won two in a row, taking on a team that is the best in the conference and maybe the best in football, the undefeated 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs with their phenom quarterback Pat Mahomes leading the way. Dakota Randall Nesson is up in Foxborough, where the Pats will host the Chiefs later on tonight. Good morning, Dakota.
Yeah, good morning, Sid. Huge game tonight at Gillette Stadium with the 3-2 Patriots hosting the undefeated Chiefs. Kansas City rolls into Foxborough with a high-flying offense led by Pat Mahomes, who leads the league with 14 touchdown passes and has just two interceptions. The rookie has a ton of weapons to throw to, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Sammy Watkins, and has a dynamic back in Kareem Hunt to hand the ball to. Will New England's, frankly, mediocre defense be able to slow them down? We shall see. However, this game could be a shootout. Patriots offense coming around. Josh Gordon has looked good. Julian Edelman is back, and Tom Brady looks like the usual Tom Brady. Pat's offense should have no trouble with the Chiefs' defense, which gives up the most yards per game in the league, is second worst against the pass, and among the worst against the run. All signs point to this game being a beauty, Sid, and here's one stat to keep in mind. In the Belichick-Brady era, Patriots are 23-0 at home against quarterbacks younger than 25. New England enters this game as 3.5-point home favorite. And again, for Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Dakota Randall. Back to you in the studio, Sid.
All right, Dakota, thank you so much. Again, the Pats are 3.5-point favorite. By the way, the total in this game, just to get you going, if you like offense and points like you do, B-Mel, 59. They expect these two teams to combine for at least 60 points later on tonight. Late afternoon game, the other undefeated team in the NFL. This is from the NFC, the 5-0 Rams, Los Angeles Rams, taking on the Denver Broncos, who got beat up by the Jets last week. The Rams are 5-0. The Broncos are 2-3 at last look. The Rams, a touchdown favorite in Denver. Ryan O'Halloran writes for the Denver Post, and he's live at Mile High as we get going this morning. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Sid. Thanks for having me. Two teams headed in opposite directions meet today in Denver. The Rams, as you said, 5-0. They've scored 30 or more points in each of those games. The Broncos, 2-3. They've lost three straight. Whispers about Vance Joseph's job security, maybe some other assistants, will turn into a roar with another loss. Let's start with the weather. It could be a factor. High temperature today, 29 degrees, making it could be one of the coldest October home games in Broncos history. Let's see how that impacts the Rams. On offense for L.A., top quarterback Jared Goff, top tailback Todd Gurley, receivers galore. They face a Denver defense that's going to be without nickel corner Pac-Man Jones. He has a hamstring/thigh injury. And a Bronco rush defense that gave up 323 yards to the Jets last week, including a 77-yard touchdown. On the other side for the Bronco offense, they need to get the ball. They're bad on third down. They're bad in the red zone. They commit turnovers. They're going against the Rams defense without Aqib Talib. He's still on IR with his ankle injury. The return to Denver for Wade Phillips, Rams defensive coordinator. I'm sure he's going to want this game. Back to you, Sid.
All right, Ryan, thank you very much. Again, the Rams are 7-point favorite. You know, next week this show starts to air in Miami. We get syndicated. We'll be on 940 AM WINZ. That'll be next week, but today there's a big game in Miami. Believe it or not, the Chicago Bears, sole possession of first place with a record of 3-1 atop the NFC North. And they're in Miami today, taking on a Dolphin team at 3-2, lost a tough one in Cincinnati to the Bengals last week. At last look, the Bears, a 4-point road favorite down in Miami. My very, very good friend Omar Kelly writes for the Sun Sentinel. He's live at Hard Rock Stadium, where once again the Dolphins are set to host the Bears at 1 o'clock today. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning, Sid. The Miami Dolphins are coming off two straight losses, a fourth quarter collapse to Cincinnati Bengals and a blowout to the New England Patriots, and they hope being at home will be exactly what the doctor ordered for Ryan Tannehill, who's battling a shoulder injury. The Dolphins need Tannehill to actually play this game and play well, because Miami has an 8-1 record with Ryan Tannehill and Adam Gase together as the quarterback and head coach since 2016. That's 8-1 at home since 2016, and Miami is actually scoring 15 more points at home with Tannehill and Gase than they are on the road. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if Tannehill plays with the shoulder injury and how well he plays. It's going to be 85 degrees in South Florida, wonderful weather, and hopefully the Dolphins hope that they'll be playing some wonderful football.
All right, Omar, thank you very much. As Omar said, the Dolphins started the season 3-0. They have now dropped two in a row. Big one coming up at 4:25 this afternoon in Dallas. In Dallas, the Jaguars taking on the Dallas Cowboys. The Jaguars, a record of 3-2. The Dallas Cowboys, a record of 2-3. At last look, the Jaguars are a 3-point road favorite at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. 4:25 kickoff. Let's go to Donovan Lewis for the Cowboys and the Jaguars.
Good morning, Sid. Here live at AT&T Stadium, the Cowboys will take on the Jaguars. The weather outside, cloudy, 75 degrees with a slight chance of thunderstorms, so the roof should be closed at kickoff. Although Ezekiel Elliott leads the NFL in rushing yards, the offense is having difficulties getting things going as a whole, especially in the passing game. Quarterback Dak Prescott and his receivers are having a hard time getting on the same page, while the offensive line, missing center Travis Frederick, hasn't lived up to the claims of being one of the better offensive lines in the league. There are only two teams, Sid, in the NFL that have scored fewer points than the Cowboys so far this season: the Arizona Cardinals and the Buffalo Bills, both starting rookie quarterbacks. The stout Jacksonville Jaguars defense will no doubt crowd the line to stop the running game, so the Cowboys somehow will have to find a way to get the 30th ranked passing game in the NFL going against the third stingiest team against the pass. And while the defense has been playing well, linebacker Sean Lee will be out for a third straight game. Linebackers Jalen Smith and first-round pick Leighton Vander Esch have been pretty good. They've had their issues getting turnovers, especially interceptions. Their first interception of the year came last week in their 19-16 loss to Houston. Blake Bortles will test his defense, but he's been known to throw it to the other team. In order for the Cowboys to have a chance to win, their defense has to give this offense a short field by creating turnovers. For Sid Sports Sunday, this is Donovan Lewis. Back to you, Sid.
All right, thank you, Donovan. One more game to cover. It's a big one in Cleveland. Yes, the Cleveland Browns are actually a pretty good football team this year. They've got a record of 2-2-1. They're playing very, very well, taking on the Los Angeles Chargers, who won again last week to improve to 3-2. Been a long time. It's been all about LeBron James and, of course, Terry Francona in Cleveland. Been a long time before the Browns fans had something to cheer about. But this year, with Baker Mayfield at quarterback and a couple of victories, things are changing. Here's one of my favorite guys in the business, big-time afternoon host in Cleveland, but also a CBS and WFAN guy, my good buddy Adam the Bull, live from Cleveland, where the Browns are set to host the Chargers. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Sid. Great to hear from you. The Cleveland Browns are a real football team. I can't believe it, but it is true. I've been covering this team for 8 years. They haven't been in the playoffs in forever. But I think, I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but that streak is about to end. This team is legit. They're a decent football team. They've moved into the middle of the pack from the dreck of the NFL for the first time in a long time. Last week, they won their first division game since 2014. This week, they try to win back-to-back games for the first time since 2014. I think they have a pretty good chance to do it. They've developed a good home field advantage. This fan base has been rooting for LeBron and the Indians, as you say, but this is always a football town, and the folks are pumped. It's cool this morning, about 42 degrees, should be about 55 and sunny at game time. One concern for the Browns is depth at wide receiver. Rashad Higgins, who's had a nice season, and Derek Willis, who made a big play in the final drive against the Ravens last week, both injured, both out for this game. They've signed former Ravens wide receiver first-round pick and bust Rashad Perryman, but he has the same problem that a couple of the other Browns receivers, Antonio Callaway and tight end David Njoku, have. Too many drops. That's been the biggest issue. Baker Mayfield has looked tremendously well. If you're just looking at the stats and you see the completion percentage and the turnovers, you're missing the picture. Watching him, he passes the eye test, and it appears the Browns clearly have their first quarterback since Bernie Kosar. Has been a long time. As for the Chargers, obviously the West Coast team coming across the country is always a challenge, especially when the weather's a little cooler. He's been really efficient. They've protected him well. The Browns have gotten to the quarterback. They're top 10 in the league in sacks. That'll be the huge matchup, Browns D-line versus the Chargers offensive line. Watch out for Denzel Ward, the other first-round pick of the Browns, in the secondary. He's won Rookie of the Week on defense twice already. The Browns are number one in the NFL in takeaways. It feels like I'm dreaming that the Browns are actually relevant. Sid, good to talk to you, buddy.
Hey, you too. Adam the Bull. The Browns, by the way, evidence what Adam just said, a 1.5-point favorite over Phil Rivers and the Chargers. Lots more to do today. Brandon Lee's got your fantasy stuff coming up next. A red-hot Danny Bianculo. Danny B wins. He's got your picks coming up at 9. We're going to hear from former New York Daily News writer. Great book out on the Dallas Cowboys, Gary Myers. Rob Parker from Fox Sports 1. More stringers around the league. And we'll talk to some of the fans out here today. We're live from Bourbon Street on beautiful Bell Boulevard in Bayside. It's a party on a Sunday morning. NFL Week 6, Sid Sports Sunday, coming back right after these short messages.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda.
Gotta love it, baby.
77 WABC.
Let's go!
Don't miss a minute of Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Get him on demand when you want it.
Let's go! It's time to play!
OGPodcastNetwork.com and WABCRadio.com.
All right, folks, I want to remind you once again, this Sid Sports Sunday for Week 6 of the National Football League, coming to you live this morning. What a gorgeous, gorgeous place. We're on the roof here on Bell Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. Got to be about 10 flat-screen TVs. They got the bar open. They're serving breakfast. All these good-looking folks out here today. A really nice setting. Pete, congratulations. You've done well, pal. Peter, Mark, and Steve, the owners. Now, beginning tomorrow night, right here at Bourbon Street in Bayside, it's Monday nights. They got these gorgeous belly dancers here today and tomorrow, Layla and Mariah. They got drink specials all night long. It's the best halftime show around, so come out tomorrow night to Bourbon Street right here in Bayside for Monday Night Football as the Green Bay Packers take on the San Francisco 49ers. Be here tomorrow night. It is time for fantasy sports. Brandon Lee is everywhere because, well, she's really good. She writes for The Athletic, Sportsline, Fantasy Alarm, and NFL.com, doing lots of really good stuff. And joining us once again here on Sid Sports Sunday is our friend Brandon Lee. Good morning, Brandon.
It's a nice
How
day.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thank you. Sounds like you're having fun.
Yeah, that's what's actually very, very cool. We've now had this show on the road two of the last 3 weeks. We're at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City 2 weeks ago, and now here in Bayside, Queens. Let's get right to it. One of our matchups today, an early matchup, features the Falcons. Very disappointing start for Atlanta, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs have no defense, none. So I got to imagine that Falcon quarterback Matt Ryan is a good play today. And then my buddy here, Brian Melman, tells me with the injury, of course, to Freeman, he's still out, that it may be a good spot to start Tevin Coleman, running back from the Falcons, today as well. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I agree on both accounts. Three of the five games played produced well over 20 fantasy points for Matt Ryan, close to over 30, actually. He's currently the third highest scoring fantasy quarterback on the season, only behind Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees. Tampa Bay's allowed the absolute most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Basically, like you said, they give up top 10 amount of points to opponents at every fantasy position, actually, on the offensive side of the ball. So, yes, start them all. Tevin Coleman, absolutely. Freeman is officially out. Calvin Ridley, too. Believe those six touchdowns, you guys. They're going to score.
That was quite an addition to Julius Jones, adding Calvin Ridley during this offseason in the draft. Jets and Colts coming up in New Jersey in about 4 hours, and Robbie Anderson had a real good year last year, very troubled offseason, said some things to a cop in Miami that I'll never forgive him for, but truth is he's a pretty good wide receiver, had a great week last week. What about Robbie Anderson up against the Colts later on today?
Yeah, it's a tough call because, you know what, he's not getting a lot of looks. I mean, even though last week, you know, he had a fantastic week putting up 123 yards and two touchdowns, he did all of that only on three catches, which is insane. He basically just roasted Roby from the Denver Broncos. I'm not sure he'll do that today, but he is the big play guy while Quincy Enunwa is the volume guy. This is about whether or not you get a point per reception or if you don't. But they're both good dart throws this week because, frankly, you know, the Colts are bottom 10 in pass defense, so why not give him a try?
All right. I imagine that Quincy Enunwa will get a lot of targets for the Jets as well today. Bills and Texans coming up at 1 o'clock today. And Texans, they shut down Ezekiel Elliott from the Dallas Cowboys last Sunday night. Now you get LeSean McCoy for the Buffalo Bills coming off a win last week. I'm not sure this is the right time to go with McCoy or not, but you're the pro here, Brandon. You tell me.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, Sid. McCoy hasn't even scored one touchdown this season, receiving or rushing. It's pretty unbelievable. And it's not really his fault. The Bills can't move him down the field. Now, they're saying that they're not going to showcase him for a trade, that they're absolutely not going to do that. I don't know. We'll see. I think they are going to give him a ton of carries like they did last week. 24 carries, which is a full load. His first time all season, he went for 85 yards and then caught two of his three targets for 23 yards as well. Still not great, though, because the Texans have allowed, the sixth most passing yards, but the ninth fewest rushing yards per game. And it's not like he's very involved with the passing game. So, yeah, it's a no for me. It's a no for me.
All right, let's go to the best matchup of the day. What a game later on tonight from Foxborough. Undefeated 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Pats. They've now won two in a row. They're on their way back, it looks like. They added a big-time wide receiver, the former Cleveland Brown, Josh Gordon, a couple of weeks ago. Now, you know Julian Edelman's going to get his spots and play well. But what about Josh Gordon later on tonight against a Chief defense that is not very good against the pass?
Yeah, no, I like it. They're going to need to score points to catch up with Patrick Mahomes. Even though they're going to be in Foxborough, and even though it is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and I'm not going to underestimate them, but I'm not going to underestimate Patrick Mahomes either. I've seen five games. So I would say they need Josh Gordon. Now, Josh Gordon only had two catches last week and two catches the week before. He had to get in the end zone to be fantasy relevant, but I think that's exactly what he'll do. So I think he is the perfect flex play or wide receiver three, especially when you have the Saints and the Lions on bye.
All right, Redskins are taking on Carolina today. They're all banged up. They got blown out by the Saints. Actually, a disappointing effort by Washington earlier in the week. They are all beat up at running back, especially Peterson, Thompson. These guys are out. So this Redskin offense today, you got to stay away, right?
Yeah, I feel bad. I mean, everyone's talking about how bad Alex Smith is, and I'm like, with whom? I mean, when the healthiest person on your team is Jordan Reed, you have a real problem. And that's where Washington is. So, and it's unfortunate, too, because it's actually a pretty decent defense for wide receivers and tight ends. And you would think that maybe they'd be able to get something going. I think Jordan Reed's the only guy here that you could, you know, take a dart throw on. But everyone else, you're right. I mean, when you looked at their injury report earlier this week, every single person except for Alex Smith and Jordan Reed that were starters was on
the whole team.
Questionable. The whole
team.
Unbelievable.
the whole team. Last one. Let's go back to the Falcons and the Buccaneers. Earlier this season, Buccaneers had Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. He was breaking records. He's back to being the backup now. Jameis Winston, once again, the starter for the Buccaneers. What do you think about Winston today against the Atlanta Falcons?
Oh, yeah, I love it. And like you said, I mean, the matchup of the day is going to be Chiefs at Patriots, and they have right now a 59.5 over-under, but 57.5 over-under for this Bucks-Falcons game. And Winston's only on about 60% of fantasy rosters right now, so if you're looking for someone to fill in for Drew Brees or even for Matthew Stafford, Winston could be your guy. The only position that the Falcons seem to be able to defend, though, is the tight end. It looks like O.J. Howard is going to play, but I don't like any of the tight ends really in this matchup. And if you were going to plug and play Cameron Brate or Adam Humphries in this matchup, you may want to pause.
All right, Brandon, as always, excellent job. Brandon Lee, she's everywhere. The Atlantic Sports Line, NFL.com. Check out her work every single week. Brandon, great job again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sid.
Excellent work. We're going to take a short break live again from Bourbon Street. Bell Boulevard, Bayside, sun coming out, gorgeous day. Got a nice-sized crowd out here. The bar is open. They're serving breakfast. When we get back, he wrote for the New York Daily News for 39 years. Also has shows on WFAN. He's got a brand-new book out about the Dallas Cowboys, the history of the great Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk to Gary Myers on Sid Sports Sunday right after these short messages.
77 WABC.
You gotta be ready to go.
Breakfast in bed with Sid. A dream come true. Sid Sports Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda every Sunday.
Man, oh man, they can't stop us.
77 WABC.
So last week here on Sid Sports Sunday, we had my dear friend Ian O'Connor from ESPN on the program, and he's got a brand new book out. It's a great book, and it's titled Belichick. And he went into some of these stories about Bill Belichick, whether it's Robert Kraft or Tom Brady, stuff that not everybody knows, Deflategate, all that good stuff. So what better way to follow up with Ian than a guy that I love to death. Love him to death. Great writer on New York Daily News. He's written a ton of great books. The father-son book was one of my favorites ever, the quarterback book. Now he's got a book out on another very riveting team, and that is America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. And it's titled, How About Them Cowboys? Inside the Huddle with the Stars and Legends of America's Team. And here he is making his debut on Sid Sports Sunday, the brilliant and talented Gary Myers. Good morning, Gary.
What an introduction that was, sir.
Yep, thank you. You're not going to get that from Francesa?
Nice.
Nope. No, but I had Ian on last week, and it's a very, very good book. And much like him, see, there's been a million books written about the Dallas Cowboys. A million. I remember years ago, I was talking to Jeff Perlman. He wrote a very good book about them.
Mm-hmm.
But your book does delve into things, Gary, which makes it special, that no one has ever talked about.
Well, I spent an awful lot of time with Jerry Jones, and three different sessions with him, totaling about 5 hours. And I also spent a lot of time with his kids. And I think I was able to pull back the curtain on how this $5 billion, really mom-and-pop operation, you know, functions on a day-to-day basis, and the interaction between the family members and getting as far as in the last chapter of laying out how Jerry has the post-Jerry plan set for how the team will be handled once he either steps aside or he passes away. So I think there's a lot of stuff in this book that people haven't read before. I mean, I know there is. And it was really a lot of fun to research and write.
When I was down in Miami, I was there when Don Shula was basically fired, right? I mean, they made a nice mm-hmm. thing about it. He had a chance to resign, blah, blah, blah. But they wanted to bring in Jimmy Johnson. And, of course, the same exact thing happened in Dallas where, you know, they said Tom Landry was resigning, but he was fired, really, because they wanted Jimmy Johnson. the same exact scenario. Jimmy Johnson, pretty good coach, costing legends like Tom Landry and Don Shula their jobs. But you talk about one specific event in the book where Jones and Landry have lunch before Landry is put into the Ring of Honor. How about that story?
Well, actually, he fired him in 1989 and had been trying every year after that to get Tom to agree to being in the Ring of Honor.
Right, it was
Tom
afterwards, was right. It was after, right.
Right. So Tom was still so bitter about the way that Jerry handled it that he kept rejecting his invitation every year it would come in. And finally, you know, Jerry, he told me the story. Now, I was already back in New York in 93, so I didn't see this myself. But he said there were billboards up around Dallas making fun of Landry and calling him a chicken for not accepting Jerry's invitation to be in the Ring of Honor. Again, I never saw those signs myself, but I'm sure that there were some people who felt that, you know, Tom should bury the hatchet and take his rightful place in the Ring of Honor. So anyhow, they had a mutual friend who was the president of Kroger Supermarket in the Dallas area. Tom and Jerry had that mutual friend, and Jerry had contacted him and said, you know, he really wanted to put Tom in. So this guy contacted Tom, and Tom agreed to have lunch with Jerry at the mutual friend's house, and they sat down for a couple hours. And, I mean, Jerry had nothing but admiration for Landry. It's just that he wants Jimmy Johnson as his coach when he bought the team.
Right.
And they just worked through whatever issues had been lingering, and a few months later, Tom was in the Ring of Honor. And I know that Jerry was very happy about that. He later had a statue placed outside of Texas Stadium, which is now outside of AT&T Stadium. And, you know, until Tom passed away in the early 2000s, he and Jerry had a cordial relationship. I wouldn't say they'd go out to dinner together, but Jerry would always invite him to the Ring of Honor ceremonies and the dinner that they have prior to that, and Tom would always show up.
Gary Myers, the book is How About Them Cowboys, a must-read, even for a Giant fan like me. I like those older days, though, before Jerry, the Tex Schramm, Gil Brandt days. You know, Gary, the Roger Staubach and Danny White, and that 77 team that beat the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl with a former friend, Craig Morton, playing in that game.
Well, I mean, Craig Morton at that point was the quarterback of the Broncos. The Cowboys had traded him to the Giants for the what turned out to be the pick that the Cowboys took, Randy White.
Right.
So that wasn't such a great trade for the Giants, and the Giants later got rid of Craig Morton. He wound up in Denver and wound up facing Staubach in that Super Bowl that you referenced.
Right.
You know, when people have asked me, you know, how did they become America's team, or what is it about the Cowboys that has put American sports fans and sports fans around the world, really, to embrace this team? You know, see, we go back even further in the era that you're talking about. I think when they lost to the Packers in those back-to-back NFL championship games, you know, the Lombardi Packers, the invincible Packers, and here was this expansion team that had only been in business for about 7 years, and they lost two heartbreaking games. I think sports fans just really began to identify with them, that they were an underdog that was worth rooting for.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they got Roger Staubach after that, maybe the last American sports hero. They started showing up on the doubleheader games on CBS at 4 o'clock every Sunday. Tech Schramm knew the value of hosting that late afternoon game on Thanksgiving that no other team wanted any part of, but, you know, he wanted it because he knew the exposure the Cowboys would get for it. Then they had the cheerleaders, and people were always talking about that. And, of course, in the 70s, they started winning Super Bowls.
Right.
So it was all a combination, but they just have done an amazing job marketing. And when Jerry bought the team in 89, they were a bad team, but they were still the Cowboys, and they were still immensely popular. So he had a lot to build on. He just had to turn them around financially because they were losing $1 million a month, and he had to turn them around on the field because they were 3-13 in Landry's last year. But, Sid, I mean, he was buying a proven product. He then just had to enhance it.
Right, exactly. And then, of course, so look, the Cowboys have been to 8 Super Bowls along with the Steelers and the Broncos, the second most. Only the Patriots at 10 have been to more. And then they won one game after that. But he ended up getting Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman, the Herschel Walker deal. Certainly, you talk about bad deals, the Craig Morton deal for the Giants. The Herschel Walker deal with the Dallas Cowboys may be the biggest one-person deal ever in turning around an organization in the history of sport.
Yeah, I mean, I lost track of how many players and draft picks the Cowboys wound up getting out of that deal, but it was probably the most one-sided trade ever. Even though Herschel's numbers were fine, he was supposed to be the missing piece in Minnesota, and he just wasn't. But just Jimmy used one of the picks that he got from Minnesota and packaged it with something else and moved up for Emmitt Smith. So that by itself made it a one-sided deal for the Cowboys because they wound up with the all-time leading rusher in NFL history. But there was so much more to that trade where he just built a roster out of it and turned a 1-15 team in his first year into a Super Bowl champion his fourth and fifth year. There's no question in my mind that would not have been done without the Herschel Walker trade.
Right.
Just completely expedited the process.
But that's been it. I mean, you know, after that, you know, you had you know, it's funny, Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells in Dallas, too, when Bill came along and had Quincy Carter, I guess, early, if I remember correctly. And then mm-hmm. Bill was the guy that actually inserted Tony Romo as a starting quarterback. And Tony won a lot of games and put up some gaudy statistics. He was a very talented player, but they never won anything. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, for the longest time, for a team that was valued over $4 billion just 3 years ago, they've had very little postseason success on the field for a very long time.
Right, and they're actually up to being valued at $5 billion now in the latest list put out by Forbes. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, they haven't been past the divisional rounds of the playoffs since they won the Super Bowl in the 95 season. Bill Parcells, who's in the Hall of Fame, it's the only job where he, of his four head coaching jobs, that he didn't win a playoff game. And it's interesting you mentioned with Romo. I was at the game where Romo became the starting quarterback. He put him in at halftime of the game against the Giants. Drew Bledsoe had thrown an interception towards the end of the first half, and Bill had just had enough. Romo had never taken a snap in his first 3 years plus, like, four games. And Bill loved Romo. He just had that it factor that Bill loved. But it was also Romo's fumble in the wild card playoff game at the end of the 06 season in Seattle, where the Cowboys were ready to kick the game-winning field goal, where Romo fumbled the snap and then picked it up and tried to run it in. That game really was the reason that Parcells wound up retiring.
That was it.
When he did.
Yeah, that killed him.
That game drained him. You know, and to hear Bill talk about it then and even now, he just talked about all the energy it took during the, it's a 12-month job, as you know, and all the energy it takes just to get to that point to have a chance for a game-winning kick in a playoff game. You have to go through the off-season program and the draft and training camp and all that kind of stuff, all the team meetings and the practices, and then you're in position to win a playoff game, and your quarterback drops the snap on the potential winning field goal. He just sat there and go, I just don't have it in me to put forth all that energy just to get back to that spot that we were in to with a chance to win the game. Now, it was a very emotional decision that he made within a short period of time after that game. I think given a choice or given a do-over on that, Bill would have waited a couple of months and let the emotions calm down and realize he had a really good young team that wound up winning, I think it was 14 games the next season with Wade Phillips, but then lost to the Giants in the playoffs.
Right.
If Bill had stayed, he would have won a Super Bowl in Dallas.
I agree. Gary Myers, how about them Cowboys? About 60 seconds to go. Great stories. Bob Lilly, Mr. Cowboy, handing it off to Jason Witten. I love that in the book, Gary. But I'll ask you about this team right now, losing to Houston last week. They are not playing well. And I did read something yesterday that of all the coaches in the NFL, the guy on the hottest seat right now is Garrett in Dallas. What do you think? You think he's going to go?
I think what Jerry said after the game the other night, when he said, you know, I'm a risk taker. We weren't playing well. That was a time to take a chance. It's the first time he's been that outwardly critical of Jason Garrett, you know, his decision there not to go for it on fourth and one. And I would say that if Garrett does not get this thing turned around, as much as Jerry really likes Garrett and has loved the idea of having stability in the head coach's office, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him
to fire him
to make a coaching change.
And what about this tweet back and forth where he goes out and says, we haven't had a number one wide receiver in years. Mm-hmm. Is that true, or is that just a shot at Dez Bryant?
I think it's a combination that in the last few years, Dez Bryant, there was no separation speed anymore. He was dropping a lot of passes. He wasn't getting the targets with Dak Prescott that he got with Romo, and he complained a lot about it. And he was a distraction, and the Cowboys cut him. And so I think there's a lot of bitterness in Dez, who has said recently he wants to go back and play for the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys are changing their mind on that one.
No, they're not taking it back. Again, the book is a terrific book, folks. How about them Cowboys? Gary Myers is a great author, just a great sports guy. New York Daily News here for many, many, many years, and one of the nicest guys in the business as well. Gary, I love this conversation, love the book, and continued success. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on, Sid. Take care.
Take care. Gary Myers. How about them Cowboys? More of Sid Sports Sunday right after these words.
Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
77 WABC. 77 WABC. Free Sid, free sports thinking on demand on the free WABC radio app.
About 4 minutes to go. Hour number one, Sid Sports Sunday, live at Bourbon Street here on Bell Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. Big NFL Week 6. We save this time every week for college football. My good buddy Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. If you're a college football fan, that is the best website out there, GoForTheTwo.com. What an amazing day yesterday. A bunch of undefeated teams that go down. Let's start with this one. I wasn't surprised. I love this team, Joe, as a home dog yesterday. Iowa State over West Virginia. The week before, West Virginia, their quarterback, threw a bunch of picks. Not sure about you, but the Iowa State win didn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, great win by Matt Campbell and the crew. Sid, Iowa State as a 4.5, 5-point underdog with their quarterback, Brock Purdy, that stepped up with another solid day. But defensively for Iowa State, held West Virginia in check to only about 157 total yards per game. That was an offense that was averaging close to 500. Solid win for Iowa State and Matt Campbell yesterday in the Big 12.
The biggest shocker of the day, Georgia. You know, we kept saying Alabama and Georgia were a step above everybody else. And, of course, that was your championship game a year ago. Georgia goes to LSU undefeated. LSU coming off the loss the week before to Florida. And Georgia gets blown out, a 20-point win for LSU. That one did surprise me.
Yeah, LSU bounced back with a dominating win over Georgia. They forced four turnovers and, more importantly, held Georgia to only 113 rushing yards in that battle. That was an offense for Georgia that was averaging 240 rushing yards heading into that contest. And Ed Orgeron and the crew bounced back in a big way. They're going to have an opportunity to face Alabama on November 3rd. If they could step up over Alabama, this is a team that could possibly sneak into the college football playoff. Not going to be easy. They've lost seven straight to the Crimson Tide by 13 points per game. But all eyes will be on that November 3rd matchup in Baton Rouge.
So, Joe Lisi, it was Happy Valley till the very last play of the game when Michigan State shocked Penn State yesterday on that touchdown, 21-17. That's a bad home loss for the Nittany Lions.
It really is. I mean, that was their second home loss since 2016 under James Franklin. And more importantly, Michigan State's owned Penn State over the last few years. They've won now four of the last five. They got a dominating performance by their quarterback, Brian Lewerke, that passed for 295 through the air. Their wide receiver, Felton Davis, stepped up with a big day. 100 receiving yards, two receiving touchdowns. And Penn State could be on the outside looking in for a Big Ten title at the end of the year.
Last one, almost another shocker yesterday. Notre Dame, they've looked so good, found themselves trailing Pittsburgh, of all teams, 14-12 late. But I love this Irish quarterback, this kid Ian Book, and he came up big again, Joe, late in the game.
Yeah, Ian Book was the difference yesterday. He passed for 264 yards through the air, especially when their rushing offense wasn't there against a solid Pitt defense. Yesterday, they only averaged 80 rushing yards yesterday, but Ian Book stepped up. As long as they get solid quarterback play in the rest of the year, they're going to face USC at the end of the year. Notre Dame is definitely a college football playoff contender.
All right, Joe. And, of course, UCF came back late, beat Memphis 31-30. They've now won 19 in a row. That's more than any other team in college football. Again, check out the website, gulpwithit2.com. As always, Joe Lisi, thank you so much, buddy. Great job.
Hey, anytime, Sid. Love the show.
Love you too. Joe Lisi, gulpwithit2.com. Wrap things up, Sid Sports Sunday. Of course, driven every single week by our friends at Ramsey Mazda. Lots more to do. We go live to all the big games, and Danny B's got your winners. Hour number two of Sid Sports Sunday, live from Bourbon Street on Bell Boulevard in Bayside. Big party here, folks, and we're coming right back right after these words.
Took an oath by the blood of my head, won't break it. I can taste it. The end is upon us. I swear, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna.
Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Sid Rosenberg, the stories, the stats, the edge.
Mahomes, he's going to try to get there on his own, and he does so with ease. Showtime.
The moments.
Brady now over 300 yards for the game, 83rd time in his career, looking for all of it. Unloads to the end zone. Caught by Gordon. Touchdown, Patriots.
Every Sunday.
Here they are, second and four. Ben dancing, waiting, throwing, and the catch is made by Brown. Touchdown.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
Box snap sets up second and 12. Bortles has a man.
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
The food is out. Everybody eating. I see eggs. I see pancakes. I see bacon. What an amazing job here. Beautiful breakfast. Beautiful place. Flat screen TVs all over the place. We're outside on the roof at Bourbon Street on Bell Boulevard in Bayside. An amazing setting for a Sid Sports Sunday for a week six
of the National Football League. Nice crowd out here today. Giant fans, Paul Jett fan, Lynn Giant fan, all these other folks out here today. Leslie Slender doing a great job. All the owners are here today. Got to thank all these guys, Peter, Mark, and Steve. And the great Phil Amato was here today. Phil doing a terrific job for us here on a Sid Sports Sunday. Hey, listen, let's go back out to the stadiums. We've got six stringers standing by before Danny B., my friend Danny Bianculo, gives you winners later on this hour. Let's go to New Jersey. Game number one, the Jets looking even up their record at 3-3 on the season. Fresh off an impressive victory over the Denver Broncos, hosting Andrew Luck and the 1-4 Colts. By the way, Around the League is brought to you by my dear friend Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Peerless builds America's best boilers. Check out peerlessboilers.com today. You'll find a friendly dealer near you. And by the way, check out the 95% efficient Peerless Boiler Combi. That is the best boiler in the product class. So we go around the league. It is the Jets hosting the Colts. At last look, the Jets, 2.5-point home favorite. CBS and WFAN's Peter Schwartz is standing by at MetLife in New Jersey. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Sid. You going to save some pancakes for me?
Absolutely.
There you go, my friend. Well, it is as we mentioned last hour, a huge afternoon for the Jets, who are 2-3 as they get set to welcome the Colts to MetLife Stadium. The Jets put the brakes on their three-game losing streak with last week's win over the Broncos, and they're in the middle of a three-game homestand at MetLife Stadium. They'll play the Vikings again at home next week. But to get back to 500, Andrew Luck and the Colts standing in the way of the 2-3 Jets today. The Jets will have a game-time decision for running back Isaiah Crowell. He has a sore ankle all week, but he has gotten better as the week has gone along. Jets will be without defensive backs Jermaine Johnson and Buster Skrine. But it is a special day, Sid, out at MetLife Stadium. It is a whiteout. The Jets are wearing all white, white jerseys, white pants, gray face masks to commemorate the 50th anniversary of their Super Bowl III win over the then Baltimore Colts. And at halftime, the Jets are going to have a ceremony. Most of the players from that Super Bowl III team, including Joe Namath, will be on hand. Sid, I remember it well. I was a year old. I was sitting in my high chair. I had my finger up in the air like Joe Willie. Should be a fun afternoon at MetLife Stadium. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Peter Schwartz. Now back to Sid in the studio.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Joe Namath. Oh, God. That's a long time ago, folks. Going on 50 years since the Jets last went to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. Biggest game of the day is tonight up in Foxborough, New England, where the undefeated 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs visit Tom Brady and now the 2-win in a row, 3-2 New England Patriots. Pats, 3.5-point home favorite over undefeated Kansas City. Dakota Randall of Nesson standing by at Foxborough. Once again, the Pats will host the Chiefs later on tonight. Good morning, Dakota.
Yeah, good morning, Sid. Big game tonight at Gillette with the 3-2 Patriots hosting the undefeated Chiefs. KC quarterback Patrick Mahomes is looking to do something no quarterback younger than 25 has ever done in the Belichick era, and that's win in Foxborough. Patriots 23-0 against young QBs since Belichick took over. The rookie leads a talented offense and has a ton of weapons to throw to. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins. This offense ranks second in the NFL in points scored. Will New England's iffy defense be able to slow them down? We shall see. However, this game could be a shootout, and the over-under is set at a whopping 60 points. 60 points. Patriots offense coming around. Josh Gordon has looked good. Julian Edelman is back, and Tom Brady looks like Tom Brady. Rob Gronkowski has been banged up with an ankle, but is expected to play tonight. And this pass offense should feast on this Chiefs defense, which gives up the most yards per game in the league, is second worst against the pass among the worst against the run. Chiefs also expected to be without safety Eric Berry and pass rusher Justin Houston. And all signs point to this game being a beauty, Sid. And one thing to keep in mind, temps expected to be in the 40s. Definitely feels like football season and should be tough over at Fenway for the Red Sox in the ALCS. And again, for Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Dakota Randall. Back to you in the studio, Sid.
That's a very good point. Patriots hosting Kansas City and the Red Sox hosting the Astros. Boston, the place to be tonight. Undefeated team in the NFC are the Rams. They're 5-0. They're in Denver today. About a touchdown favorite. Ryan O'Halloran writes for the Denver Post. 4.05 p.m. Eastern time start. Rams at the Broncos. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Sid. Forget about fall football. We have winter football here today in Denver. 2 to 5 inches of snow possible by kickoff, high temperature, 25, 26 degrees. So that could be a factor for the Rams coming from Southern California, but they can figure that out. They're moving in the right direction at 5-0. They've scored 30 or more points in each win. The Broncos headed in the other direction, started 2-0. They've lost three straight. Vance Joseph promised changes during the week, did not reveal any of those. Joe Woods is still calling the plays on defense. Let's see what kind of Bronco team shows up after they were embarrassed against the Jets last week. Quick turnaround for Denver. They play Thursday night at Arizona, so their season is at a crossroads right now.
Thank you, Ryan. Let's go down to Miami. A big game today. The Dolphins started the season 3-0. They've now lost two in a row. Lost a tough one to Cincinnati last week. And here come the Bears. Don't look now. They are atop the NFC North at a 3-1 record, fresh off a bye week with a vicious pass rush, second in the NFL in sacks behind the Steelers with Khalil Mack. Bears are a four-point favorite at Hard Rock Stadium over the Miami Dolphins. And here's my dear buddy down there from the Sun Sentinel, Omar Kelly. It's the Bears and the Dolphins. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning, Sid. This is the opportunity the Dolphins have to end the two-game slide. They've suffered some tough losses, a blowout in New England, and then a fourth-quarter collapse to the Cincinnati Bengals. Unfortunately for Miami, the offense is reeling. They're the 29th offense in the NFL, and they're facing one of the top five defenses in the NFL, the Chicago Bears. As you mentioned, the Bears have a ferocious pass rushing, but more importantly, They've got a run defense that's number one in the NFL. Well, the Dolphins this week made a switch with Frank Gore becoming their lead back, handling most of the carries on first and second down. And then they utilized Kenyon Drake in the passing game. He got 11 passes thrown at him last week against Cincinnati. And more than likely, that's how they're going to mix it up, with Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake being the main focuses, because the Dolphins are clearly concerned about Khalil Mack going against Juwan Gaines in today's matchup.
Thank you, Omar. Let's go down to Dallas, I should say, AT&T Stadium. The Dallas Cowboys off to a rough start, fresh off a loss to the Houston Texans, only a 2-3 on the season. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they've dropped a couple in a row, find themselves at 3-2, still a very good football team. At last look, the Jaguars, a 3-point road favorite in Dallas for a 4:25 p.m. Eastern time start. We're going to go down to Donovan Lewis with the ticket in Dallas as the Cowboys get set to host the Jaguars. Good morning, Donovan.
Good morning, Sid. The weather outside will be cloudy and 75 degrees, but the conditions inside at AT&T Stadium will be perfect. The Cowboys' defense has been a pleasant surprise this season, and they've clearly been the dominant unit on the team, although that's not saying too much, because the offense can't seem to get it together despite Ezekiel Elliott leading the NFL in rushing. The lack of a number one receiving option for Cowboy quarterback Dak Prescott has been discussed ever since the Cowboys released Dez Bryant and Jason Witten retired. As a matter of fact, Sid, the leading receiver for the Dallas Cowboys is Cole Beasley with 193 yards on the season, which ranks 80th in the NFL, 1 yard behind Jacksonville Jaguar running back T.J. Yeldon, the Cowboys' opponent today, and he's not even a regular starter. There's been a lot of chatter in the media about the offensive woes with receiver Allen Hurns, offensive coordinator Scott Linehan, and even head coach Jason Garrett trading quotes in the media, and it appears to be the start of a fractured locker room. They're going up against a really tough Jaguars defense that will test the Cowboys' offense to see if they can fix the problems on offense that has only scored 83 points through five games this season. The Cowboys' defense welcomes back defensive end David Irving, returning from a four-game suspension. Team sack leader DeMarcus Lawrence is expected to play despite his shoulder popping out of place last Sunday night in Houston, and also no linebacker Sean Lee for the third straight game nursing that hamstring. For Sid Sports Sunday, this is Donovan Lewis. Back to you, Sid.
Thank you, Donovan. Lastly, how about the Cleveland Browns? The Cleveland Browns are 2-2-1 and a home favorite over a winning football team today. The 3-2 Phillip Rivers-led Los Angeles Chargers, one of the best guys in the business, 92.3 the fan in Cleveland, also a CBS and WFAN guy. My good buddy Adam the Bull in Cleveland. All of a sudden, the Browns are a pretty good football team. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Sid. I just heard that last report from Dallas when they talk about bad wide receivers. Last year, the Browns' leading wide receiver was Ricardo Lewis. He had 343 yards. Jarvis Landry has already passed him this year, as the Browns finally have a legitimate receiver. They also finally have a legitimate quarterback. Yes, it's only been 2.5 games for Baker Mayfield. In those 2.5 games, he holds the Browns' record now for most passing yards per game. I know it's only 2.5, but I expect that trend to continue. He has played really well. The completion percentage numbers don't look great on paper if you haven't watched the Browns, but the Browns have been plagued by drops by some of their other receivers. Rookie Antonio Callaway, tight end second-year guy David Njoku are both expected to step it up today with a couple of other wide receivers injured. Also look for Duke Johnson, one of the best pass-catching running backs in the league, who has not been a big factor this year, to have more of a role in the offense this week. The Browns did sign former Ravens bust Rashad Perryman to a contract, and he will be part of the 53-man roster today. The Chargers coming to town, obviously always a challenge for the West Coast team on the road. Chargers have not played well defensively for most of the year, but they did last week in stifling the Raiders' passing attack. The Browns' defense, while yardage-wise doesn't look good, has forced a ton of turnovers. They lead the league. They've already had more takeaways this year than they did all of last season. And the Browns look to win back-to-back games for the first time since 2014 and look to try to get over 500 for the first time since they were 7-6. In 2014, their quarterback at the time, Brian Hoyer. Sid?
Excellent job, Adam LeBeau. Thank you so much. As the Browns get set to host the Chargers, today's picks and spreads analysis sponsored by my dear friend Danny Bianculo, dbwins.com. dbwins.com, picking winners for four decades and betting professionally for 35 years. Check out the website today, dbwins.com. Take it away, Bruce.
This segment is sponsored by dbwins.com.
Let's get right to it. Danny has been red hot three really good weeks in a row, making picks here on Sid Sports Sunday. This is the favorite segment of the week for the football fans out there. Danny B, welcome back, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good, bud. Sorry I can't be with you today.
Oh, it's gorgeous here on the rooftop at a really nice place, Bourbon Street and Bayside on Bell Boulevard. They've been serving food. They got mimosas. You would have loved it here, Danny. Right up your alley.
Yeah, that mimosa thing sounded good. But, you know, I'm getting ready to move back to Jersey, so unfortunately I couldn't make the trip. But I got some winners for everybody, and the good part is I'm here to take everybody's call personally today.
Oh, wow, you're in the office yourself today. I like that.
No,
I got a beautiful
wife here. That's,
oh,
you know,
she is lovely, and you're two beautiful boys.
She is lovely, isn't she? Yes. And I got some winners for you, too, Seth.
Well, good, Danny. I know you're going to give out a couple of picks on the show for free, but for the folks that want the five-star picks, the real Danny B winners, give out that phone number once again.
Absolutely. 1-800-308-9003. 1-800-308-9003. For the first time, I'm able to be in the office and talk to the callers. Unfortunately, the last 5 weeks, I can't say unfortunately, because it's been fun doing the show with you, Sid. But now I'm here today to take their calls.
All right, beautiful. Also, don't forget baseball. Danny's had a great year in baseball. We got one game tonight, game two of the ALCS, the Red
Boston,
Sox
baby.
Hosting Houston.
Boston, baby. Nice talk.
Yeah. I don't think so. Anyway, we'll...
Well, anytime you disagree, I win. So
I know, that's true. You're right. But let's get to the NFL picks. What's game number one today, Danny B?
A must win for Atlanta. You know, they're -3, a small number, right, Sid? Is that what you're showing? -3 or so?
Yes.
I got Atlanta -3. They're 1-4. It's a must win. Tampa Bay, you know, Jameson, I don't care who quarterbacks. Today is the Falcons' day. They're going to shine today. I like Atlanta to start it off.
Yeah, I like that one, too. Falcons at home, like you said, in a must win. They don't want to fall to 1-5 like the Giants. And Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers, they got no defense, too. So I like that pick. The Falcons at home minus the points.
You know, I hate to cut you off, but I'm good at that. Right. You know, there was $184 million bet in New Jersey in September already. $184 million.
And that's not even at the legal places. You mean like somewhere in Tenafly.
And almost $105 million was bet through the apps. My good friend David Purdom, he released a report yesterday, $184 million in the first month of September.
I hope these idiotic New York politicians are listening to that as they continue to kind of, you know, wait, they procrastinate. Jersey's making a couple of $100 million. We can use that money here in New York. Let's get to pick number two, Falcons over the Bucks. Pick number one, Danny B, what's pick number two?
Got to go with the Skins. They bounce back. They look like crap the last game out. Plus 1.5 against Carolina. Carolina falls to 3-2, and Washington improves to 3-2.
Now, just to play devil's advocate, you know that every single running back on the Redskins is either out or they should be out. You're still okay taking Washington?
Especially if you disagree. I definitely like Washington.
All right, so you like Washington. I do disagree, by the way. I love the Panthers today. You like the Redskins over the Panthers. Danny B, what is pick number three?
We're going to go with Pittsburgh and Big Ben. They look good the last outing. They're at Cincinnati. It's pretty much a must-win for Pittsburgh. They want to take down Cincinnati at 4-1. I like Pittsburgh plus the points. I see them winning this game by 7 to 10 points. Pittsburgh and Big Ben.
Yeah, we like that that game, too. The Bengals, about a 1.5-point favorite right now, Danny, and they are 4-1, but that's a little bit of fool's gold. I think you're right. Pittsburgh now playing very good football. Last week, they looked great. We like that pick, too. So you like the Falcons over the Buccaneers, the Redskins over the Panthers, the Steelers over the Bengals. What is pick number 4, Danny B?
Well, let's go to my 7-point teases that have been kicking, you know what, 3-0 on air the last 3 weeks, and you're going to disagree because I know you hate Dallas. You're going to take them plus 3 up to plus 10, and you're going to tease the total down to 33. So I got Dallas plus 10 to over 33. It's true, Dallas's offense looks like crap. Jacksonville, great defense, but they've been struggling a little bit. So I like Dallas plus 10 and over 33 in another 7-point teaser.
Well, listen, they've kept these games close. I do hate Dallas. I hate the team. But the pick is a good pick. They've kept these games close, even in losses, including Houston last week. Jacksonville has really struggled the last couple of weeks. So that's a pretty good play. So you got three sides. You got one teaser. You got a football bet left. I know you like the Red Sox tonight in Major League Baseball.
Well, how do you not? They're an underdog at home. You know, obviously, Cole's lights out. Price, he doesn't impress me, but Boston with value tonight, I have to release the Red Sox. Right now at plus 117, depending on your line. And again, anybody that calls in, I'm here to take your call personally. I have a trial offer, and I'm going to explain to you what you're doing wrong and what I can do to help you. It's not what I can do for you today, Sid. Anybody can get lucky. Anybody can get unlucky. It's what I can do for you week in and week out that matters.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. So once again, fire out that phone number, Danny B, and the website, of course, as well, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and see all the great Danny B specials.
DBWins.com. The phone number is 1-800-308-9003. I don't care what you're betting. $50, $100 a game. Maybe you never bet before and you're intrigued. You want to know a little bit more about my service, feel free to call. I'll take your call personally. And let's get to the nightcap. And now I want you to buy this down a half a point. New England at home to stop Kansas City. Obviously, the quarterback from Kansas City, Mahomes, has been lights out. But he's up. Look at this stat. I think any young quarterback going into New England is like 0-23. I don't have it in front of me, but one of my buddies put it out. So it's tough for a young quarterback to go into New England. Granted, the guy's lights out. But I see New England tonight. I'd like to see you buy it down to -3. At 3.5, buy it down to 3. I see New England taking down Kansas City tonight.
That is correct, by the way. 0-23, young quarterbacks up at Foxborough taking on Tom Brady and the Pats. So that certainly works for you. Now, the Red Sox, I want to remind you, David Price, 0-10 in his postseason career. That doesn't work for you.
Back at you, Sid. But again, you got Boston at home down 1-0. You're grabbing $1.17, depending if you have a 10-cent line or a 20-cent line. What does that mean? Call me at 1-800-308-9003, and I'll explain it. I'll explain everything they need to know. And anybody that wants to buy my house, I can't sell it. It's been sold already.
You're funny. Excellent job, Danny B. Thank you. DBWins.com gave you 4 great picks today, including his teasers, which are 3-0. He likes the Cowboys and the under against the Jags. Lots more to do. Rob Parker will have a giant discussion. Me and Melman, producers, picks, all kinds of good stuff. Sid Sports Sunday rolls on from Bourbon Street, Bell Boulevard, Bayside, Queens. Drinks are flowing. Food is out, crowd is pumped up, NFL Week 6, we're coming right back right after these words.
Spectacular stories. Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda.
Spectacular.
77 WABC.
Spectacular.
Back here on Sid Sports Sunday, again live from Bourbon Street, Bell Boulevard, Bayside, Queens. Got a great crowd out here. The food is great. They got drinks, all kinds of good stuff. We'll talk to Rob Parker from Fox Sports 1 about the Giants and the Knicks. Don't forget, folks, Wednesday night, the NBA season starts. Knicks hosting the Hawks. They've got 3 games next week. The Nets are in Detroit for the Pistons. But I got to talk about the Giants. Look, we started this week of football on Thursday night, week 6 of the NFL, with the Giants hosting the Eagles. I mean, I think a lot of Giant fans were happy with what they saw, even in a loss in Carolina against the Panthers last week. I think the feeling was
They're going to play good football at home against the Eagles on Thursday. And they were dreadful. They weren't bad. They were terrible. They did nothing offensively, defensively, even worse. And there's a lot of people that talk about what the exact issue is. They try to figure it out, right? So I texted Paul Schwartz. He covers the Giants on a daily basis for the New York Post. And I said, give me a percentage. Well, who's to blame for the Giants? He said, well, a bad roster, 25%. Offensive line, 40%. Coach Shermer, 15%, and Eli, 20%. I got to say this, and I tweeted this morning, at Sid Rosenberg. GM come and gone, right? New GM this year. Coaches come and gone. New coach this year. Offensive linemen come and gone. What is the one constant on this Giant football team for almost 20 years? Number 10. Number 10. So how does he only get 20%? I understand the line stinks. They almost killed him on Thursday night. But he can't get out of his own way. He can't give himself a couple of seconds to get the football downfield. You're paying Odell Beckham Jr. $95 million. And this quarterback, with a bad offensive line, I get it, can't give himself enough time to get the ball downfield. It's almost like he's so shell-shocked. He's so afraid he's going to get killed out there. He takes two steps back and dumps it off. And that's it. He completes 80% of his passes because every pass is 2 freaking yards.
So what's the percentage fall on Eli?
I got to think it's at least 40-45% on the quarterback. Look, I don't think Pat Shermer, Brian, knows what he's doing yet. The coach of the Giants, I really don't. Haven't seen a real game plan yet. And the offensive line does stink. And Odell Beckham Jr. may be crazy, but he's pissed. He wants to do well out there, and he's not been given the opportunity. I know he's immature. I know he is. The money didn't make him more mature. But he's a great player. In this Giant offense, you'd never know that.
So here's the thing. You hate to see a guy complaining like that, but from the dawn of time, these guys have to be fed the ball. You go
right.
back 100 years, they want the ball. They got to be fed.
Keyshawn Johnson wrote
That's
a book on that. Right. He wanted the damn
Michael
ball.
Michael Irving. Forever. These guys got to get fed the ball. They're offensive players, and if you can't get them the ball, what's their point? And he's you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it on the sidelines. It's a distraction, and it could bring down everything, but you got to give him the ball, and if he can't do it, you got to get rid of him.
And if he wasn't pissed off and doing these things, people would go, he doesn't care. Gets his $95 million, doesn't
right.
care. He clearly cares. Now, again, doesn't do a very good job of reacting, and he doesn't act the right way, but he clearly cares. I can't hold it against the guy. Eli Manning, it's done. It is over. Look, he's the most overrated superstar in New York. I'm a Giant fan. He delivered me 2 Super Bowl championships. He's got over 50,000 yards, hundreds of touchdowns. He's got all the gaudy stats. He had 2 great runs. And one season he was real good before that idiot Plaxico Burress shot himself in the leg. Outside of that, you know this guy is almost a 500 quarterback?
But you don't want to see Luletta though, right?
No, I want a real quarterback.
There's no way. You want Eli in there. It's a win-win situation because you keep Eli in there, and at the end of the year, you get more wins. You get more losses. You
get a
higher
draft
pick. You don't want Luletta. That's short side. It is no reason.
No, you're right about that. By the way, Melman gave me this stat today. He's also led the league, Eli Manning, in interceptions 3 times, fumbles 2 or 3 times. So New York fans, they used to do shows on WFA, and they would kill me. Oh, don't talk bad about Eli. He's never been great. He's never been great. He's never been elite. He's a very good quarterback. He was which is nothing wrong with that, by the way. Very good quarterback. Had a couple of great runs. But right now, look, Drew Brees is 39. Tom Brady is 40. Eli Manning's 37. He looks like he's 70.
Last question before you wrap up. Who would you rather have right now, Sammy Darnold or Saquon Barkley?
Saquon Barkley. They didn't make the wrong choice. That's a great question, Brian. That was the right choice. I don't know if Sam Darnold will ever be great. He may. I don't know that. Saquon Barkley, he's already great. We'll take a short break. When we get back, Rob Parker, Fox Sports, and more from the fans. We will come right back on Sid Sports Sunday, live from Bourbon Street, Bell Boulevard. What a gorgeous place. We're on the roof, everybody. Getting ready for week 6 of the NFL. We'll come right back, right after these words.
WABC. Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Every Sunday, New York sports and more. 77 WABC and the free WABC radio app.
Let's get out here with a W.
Put your hands in the air.
Everybody
put your hands in the air.
See, we like to talk to a bunch of different talented people on Sid Sports Sunday. You know, it's not always the former, you know, all-star quarterback or the gold glove third baseman. Rob Parker is one of those guys. FS1, Fox Sports guys, won Journalist of the Year. He's got a vote for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. He's a New Yorker. We love that about him. He does all kinds of stuff on Fox, from, you know, Undisputed. He's on that program, to two or three others. Here he is from Fox Sports 1, Rob Parker, making his debut on Sid Sports Sunday. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Sid. How are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. You doing good?
Doing great. No complaint.
You are doing very, very well. You're on a million shows. Chris Broussard, I mean, look at you. You're exploding on Fox Sports 1. Let me get to the biggest story, though, here in New York. You know, I was one of those guys years ago. I filled in basically a whole summer, Rob, on WFAN, going back to about 2014, 2015. And at the time, I was very critical of Eli Manning. I know he's had two great runs. He's won two Super Bowls. He's thrown for over 50,000 yards. He's got hundreds of touchdowns. He's going into the Hall of Fame. But my contention is he's never been a great quarterback. He's never been an elite quarterback. He's had two very good runs. And a lot of fortunate things have happened to Eli along the way. And the Eli we're seeing now is absolutely brutal. I mean, he's killing this football team. What are your thoughts on number 10?
No doubt about it, Sid. I think you documented a lot of the stuff that, I don't know, Giants fans and people, you can't live in the past on a guy. And I give him credit. I would rather take Eli Manning and his two Super Bowl runs than a consistent Philip Rivers, say, with the Chargers for 15 years. Do you know what I mean? Because it's about winning championships. And he did that. He got his parades. People understand that. Is he going to the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. To be able to win two championships, be the MVP in both Super Bowls, and Sid, not just like he's the hanger-on or other people did it. He was the MVP. He made the big throws that allowed the Giants to win those Super Bowls, and he beat the 18-0 Patriots. So we'll give him all the accolades, but right now he's a bad quarterback. And everybody, all the Giants fans, you deserve this because you were the ones who pushed back when Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese were ready to make a change a year ago. They saw it coming. They tried to do it. People got mad, wanted to run them out of town. And here we are again, six games into the season, and 1-5 again, season over.
By the way, the Giants are 4-19, Rob, in their last 23. I was maybe the only guy in New York City who did not get angry with Ben McAdoo. Now, look, I didn't love the choices, Geno Smith or Davis Webb.
It should have been Davis Webb if you're going to look at somebody new. I agree with that.
I also don't want to hear the Giants drafted the wrong guy, because it's obvious we do need a quarterback. There's no doubt about it. And Sam Darnold was available. But I'll tell you this. I like Darnold. He looks pretty good. I can't guarantee you in any way that Sam Darnold will be a great quarterback. I can guarantee you this. Barkley, he's already great.
Yeah, the only problem I have with that, Sid, is that it doesn't translate to winning. And you could, you know, I mean, he's running amok and having a good season, and I'm not taking anything away from him. But he was supposed to be the magical elixir that was supposed to help Eli by having a running game. That was supposed to make the quarterback better, and it hasn't done that because Eli's finished. Now, the only thing I will say was that was a rich quarterback draft where there were a lot of guys who could be your franchise quarterback. So now what are the Giants got to do this draft and look around in free agency? They got to go find a quarterback, and there's no guarantee you're going to have that guy like a Sam Darnold who could be the quarterback for the Jets over the next 10, 15 years. So I think the Giants made a mistake, not because they wanted Saquon Barkley, but because they really need a quarterback, and the last 6 weeks shows you that even with a running game and even with great receivers, if you don't have a quarterback, you can't win in this league.
Oh, no doubt about it. Rob Parker, Fox Sports 1 here on Sid Sports Sunday. All right, so we're in agreement. Eli Manning is done. I thought he was done years ago, 4 years ago, to be honest. I didn't come to this realization this year or even last year. So what do the Giants do? 1-5 and seemingly going nowhere. What do? You bench him? You play the kid from Richmond? You let Eli Manning play out the string? What do you do if, in fact, you're running the Giants?
It depends on what are you trying to do? Build for the future? Do you think you have a quarterback? If you don't believe that, then you just let Eli play it out And, you know, with all the pushback from before, and even though it seems now that the fans in New York are finally on board, they've seen enough. And if this continues, I would probably say after 10 games, Sid, if it's just brutal and they're 2-8 and Eli's still bad, then maybe they'll pull the plug and just say, we need to do something and we just can't let this continue because it's bad. It's bad for the organization, bad for the other players around when you have a guy who just can't get it done. So it'll be interesting. I think they'll keep him in there at least through week 10.
All right, Rob Parker. Let's shift gears now. Let's move to the NBA. Locally, both teams open their season coming up Wednesday night. Just a couple of days away now. The Knickerbockers are going to take on the Atlanta Hawks. The Nets, I believe, are in Detroit to take on the Pistons. The Knicks have Wednesday with the Hawks, Thursday with the Nets, and then Saturday with the Celtics. And again, it's a new season. You got a great new coach. I love Fizdale. Got to know him down in Miami when he's working alongside Eric Spoelstra with the Heat. But it's a young basketball team. Their best player, Porzingis, is still not ready to go. So I guess what I'm saying is, got the right coach. They have youth and athleticism. But once again, it looks like, Rob, Knicks fans are in for a very, very long season.
Absolutely. They're still irrelevant. It's going to be a little bit longer. The only good thing with the Knicks is that there are players who are going to be available who have mentioned the Knicks. I know that Jimmy Butler had the Knicks on his list, so that's a good sign that they think things are changing despite the owner. You know what I mean? And they realize they got a coach and a GM.
You know, I got to tell you, I know Jimmy said that, and now he's kind of getting back in the decent graces in Minnesota, at least with the players, not the management. UB Brown told me this not that long ago, Rob. I thought it was very interesting. He said, why would anybody want to come here? Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler. First of all, the taxes in New York City are through the roof. Second of all, the traffic here is terrible. These guys, to go from practice to get to Madison Square Garden in New York City is awful. They can't live in the city. End up moving to New Jersey or some suburban area. He goes, the weather is terrible. The organization's been awful for years. So even though I live here and I think the Garden is the greatest place in the world, and I love my Knicks, the truth is, to free agents, it's a very unattractive place.
It is and has been for a long time, and that's how come they haven't been able to get players. But I think there's a degree of those guys who want to be in the big city, and also they want to write their own story. They want to be their own guy. How do you build a legacy? All right, Kevin Durant, for all the success that he's had, he'll never get full credit because he went to a great team that had already won a championship without him. So if you're Kevin Durant, you get another championship this year, Sid, you got three in your pocket, right? Then you come to the Knicks, and maybe there's another guy, because they're going to have money to spend, and you get two guys, and all of a sudden you turn that around, and people will look at you differently to say, last time you latched on to a championship team that already was put together without you, and now you went to New York where they haven't won, you know, since Moby Dick was a guppy, and you turn it around, you know what I mean?
No, you're right. You're right.
And if you win a championship, Kevin Durant's legacy is cemented. Kyrie Irving's legacy is cemented. I think there's a challenge there that they believe they could make something happen.
I went through this in Miami. I was working down there when LeBron and Bosh and Dwayne Wade all teamed up. And by the way, you know this, Rob, it didn't stop there. Whether it was Mike Miller, whether it was on there, they grabbed everybody. Anybody who was a decent ball player went to Miami. Now that's the case in Golden State. But it does bring up a very interesting question about LeBron now going out to Los Angeles with a bunch of very, very young players. And for the first time this week, Lonzo Ball played with LeBron. Kuzma's out there, very good young player. Ingram, too. This could be very, very exciting. Look, they're not Golden State. They're not Houston. They're not a top two or three seed, but do you envision LeBron's Lakers as maybe sneaking into a four, maybe hosting a playoff series?
I don't see it. I see them as a six or seven out west, and I'm going to tell you why, Sid. You got a lot. First of all, the other players that they brought on are all kind of misfits. They don't shoot the three well. I mean, they're going to be lacking in that. They got some ball handlers, which I like, but I'm not that convinced that the roster, even with LeBron, the Western Conference is definitely tougher than what LeBron played in, and I'm still not sure that this team in Los Angeles is better than the Cavaliers team that he played with last year. I'm not convinced of that. They got a lot of potential, but they've never played in a meaningful game.
The Lakers haven't won any, haven't made the playoffs in 5 years. A lot of these kids are potentially good, but haven't been there yet. And even when we saw for the first time, Lonzo did not fare well when LeBron was on the court as well. LeBron usually needs the ball. That's what Lonzo gives you. Lonzo's a ball handler. I don't see how that fits in. I don't even know if Rajon Rondo's going to give up the starting point job, starting point guard job to Lonzo. You know what I mean? He's a veteran who's played. So there's a lot of question marks, and I'm not convinced. And I'm going to be honest, with all the stuff that LeBron's doing out here, I'm convinced that LeBron's out of the championship business and more so into Hollywood. I think he has a better chance. He has a better chance of winning the Academy Award than an NBA championship.
Hey, listen, Dwayne Wade kind of said that. He said his next choice before he picked Los Angeles is not about really basketball. It's about lifestyle. So you're right. He's already concreted his NBA legacy. He's already, if he's not one, then he's two behind Jordan. You're right. This is about lifestyle. Let's go back to the East. We'll wrap it up here, Rob. So he's gone. He's out of Cleveland. That opens doors for a bunch of teams. A lot of folks like the Celtics. A lot of folks like the upstart 76ers. Kawhi Leonard is now up in Toronto. They've got a brand new coach there. Talk about the East. Seems to be wide open, unless you like Boston or Philly as the team to beat.
Yeah, I think the three teams you just mentioned are the teams really to beat. I just haven't seen Kawhi, hasn't played in a while. You know what I mean? I don't know where he comes back. Sid, is he the player he was a couple years ago? Does it take a while to get the rust off and get back to being who he is and if he adapts to Toronto? The other part is Boston did so well with those young kids until it mattered in the Game 7 at home. And then, of course, they missed 30 three-pointers or whatever it is. They realized who they were. So now, you know, you bring Hayward in and you bring Kyrie back. Do they respond the same way? Do they you know, mesh the same way and just continue to play well? We don't know that. And I like Philly. I mean, Simmons and Embiid are definitely a if LeBron was really serious about trying to win a couple more championships and challenge Michael Jordan for the number of championships, Philly would have been the place, Sid.
Agreed.
If you go to Philly, first of all, the East is yours, right, with him joining Philly. Number two, LeBron might help them the first 2 years, but then those younger kids, after getting some experience and maybe winning, would help LeBron his last 2 years. That's what I don't understand, is that going to L.A., he basically gave up a year, maybe even 2 years. And when you've played 16 years in the NBA, to give up a year or two doesn't make sense to me.
That is an amazing job, Rob Parker. Check him out. Of course, you can see him on Undisputed, which is a terrific program, along with Skip and Shannon. My friend Joy Taylor used to be on that show, but now she went and joined The Herd. But he's on that. He's on The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard. All those great shows on Fox Sports, Fox Sports 1. As you can see, you could talk football, basketball, everything. And we thank you, Rob, for making a visit to Sid Sports Sunday. It was great having you on. You were terrific. Thank you so much, pal.
All right, buddy. And, you know, have me on anytime. My friends in Jamaica, Queens, you know they'll be listening.
Yeah, you'll be back often. I promise you that, buddy. Thank you so much, Rob. Excellent job. Rob Parker taking a short break. Back on Sid Sports Sunday right after this.
77 WABC.
Sam Donald 3, 1, 2, 3, Sunday!
Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, each and every Sunday morning, 8 to 10.
Hey, go give it to you. Let's go get it.
77 WABC.
All right, folks, this week's injury report, sponsored by Manhattan Sports Medicine and Wellness Group, dedicated to helping New Yorkers lead physically dynamic lives free from pain. MSM Wellness, the leader in sports rehab and physical therapy. MSMWellness.com. Two notes. Greg Olsen back at tight end for the Carolina Panthers today. That's good news in the matchup against the Redskins. And Dolphin quarterback Ryan Tannehill banged up this week. He's got a right shoulder injury, but he will start today for the Dolphins against a very vicious Bear defense down in Miami as the Dolphins get set to host the Bears. Big one here locally in New Jersey. Kickoff now about 4 hours away, 3 hours I should say. It's the Jets taking on the Colts. We got our guy Rob Fulmer, otherwise known as Jetman. He's somewhere in the parking lot at MetLife Stadium with a bunch of Jet fans right now. I'm not sure what gate, but we'll tell you now to go find him. Jetman, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, Sid? How are you, buddy?
Good. Now, where are you exactly in the parking lot?
We are at L2. You have to come into the bus and RV lot. It's the yellow pass, and we're up against the curb. You can't miss us.
And you got like beer and weed and all kinds of good stuff?
We have everything you possibly want.
Fantastic.
Anything.
And how many jet bands you got there? Now, we're still 3 hours away from kickoff. Would you say how many jet bands are standing around you right now?
I would say currently about 75, but we expect probably 100 to 150.
Wow. How about, well, yeah, give me one of these jet bands. Give me the drunkest one.
The drunkest one?
Yeah, besides you, obviously.
I got one guy right here. He's the drunkest one. Hold on.
All right, let me talk to this guy.
Diddy, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, what's your name, pal?
This is Jason. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Welcome to Sid Sports Sunday. What? In all seriousness, you been drinking yet this morning? You having a good time?
Oh, yeah, my man, Jetman, my man Rob hooks it up. We're having a great time. Come out. Every Jetman needs to come out to the tailgate. It's the best.
And you're going to be out there even after the game? You go back out there? When the Jets are going to win today. Okay.
Hopefully with a win, we party. But even if we lost, we still party because it's Jets family, man.
Right, you don't
Jets
care.
For life. We love Rob.
Right, you're so hammered by the third quarter, you don't even know what game you're at, to be honest.
Exactly.
Could be the Giants.
We're hammered by halftime. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's awesome, pal. Where are you from, by the way?
Canarsie, Brooklyn.
Oh, my God. How about that? I used to go to South Shore, the Burger King across the street.
My favorite, too, right down the block, bro.
Oh,
right,
you are a big drinker. Hey, well, listen.
The juice is still in Canarsie.
I got you. Enjoy the game today, and have fun out there with the Jets and Colts. Good luck, okay?
Thank you. Here he is.
All right. Hey, Rob.
There you go, man. There you go. My favorite Jew. And we got something special for you, Sid.
What do you got?
Not only are we going to have a Jet victory, but we have the best chant in all sports, but we changed it up just for you. You ready?
I am ready.
Here we go.
Oh, that's great. How about that, huh? Jet chant, S-I-D-S, it's. Oh, that is fantastic, Rob. Thank you so much. That's great.
You got it, kid.
All right, enjoy the game out there today. I actually like you guys here. I think you're going to win again, so enjoy it. Have fun.
28-24.
I like it. Rob Fulmer, by the way, two of three in a row at home for the Jets. They're home for the Vikings next week. Thank you to Jetman out there at MetLife Stadium. Producer picks last week. Congratulations, Brian. You went 2-0. What do you got? Quickly, give me your picks for this week. I'll put on his mic. Brian Nellman, 2-0 last week. Who do you got this week?
I'm going Khalil Mack and the Chicago Bears.
To win in Miami.
Over Miami. Right. And I'm going for the jugular against Danny B and Guns, doing a great job today with Carolina. Getting points.
All right, and Guns, he likes the Redskins. Guns was 0-2 last week.
That's all right. It's all good. No, the Panthers. I got Panthers. They're going to kill my Redskins this week, and I got the Rams over the Broncos.
Okay, laying a touchdown on the road in Denver. Thank you. By the way, Guns, great job today back in the studios. Same to Bruce and Isaiah. Mike, great job here today. Melman, great job. Want to thank Leslie Slender. Way to go, Leslie. Orazio, my great boss, Chad Lopez. My great sales manager, Glenn Tacinelli. All the owners here, which include Mark, Peter, and Steve. Certainly Phil. Phil Amato here somewhere. He did a great job today. Everybody, enjoy your week 6 of the NFL live from Bourbon Street in Bayside. We'll talk again tomorrow morning at 6 with Bernie and Sid. Enjoy the football.